As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
We have a special guest today, and it's the president of the County Residents Against Annexation. It's Margaret Clemens. Margaret, good afternoon. Are you staying cool today?
Yes, I am, and I'm heeding your advice. I'm wearing light clothing, and I'm trying to stay cool.
I tell you what, it sounds easy, but if you go outside, I was walking through my neighborhood, and one of my neighbors was just coming out to get the mail, and she hit it right on the head. She said it's like getting hit with a tidal wave of heat. Yes, it is. So good for kids. For us with a little bit more experience, we don't need to be doing anything too crazy today, except, again, staying hydrated, staying cool, and if you have to be outside, try not to do it for extended periods of time. But we know the weather's not going anywhere, at least for a couple of days, so we'll be mindful of it, that's for sure. But the reason we have you on today, Margaret, is because the County Residents Against Annexation, well, you guys have been in the news here recently as being obviously against Mayor Hamilton and the city of Bloomington's annexation attempts. First of all, before I think everybody understands what annexation is right now, but before we get into that, how did you get involved with this, and how did you get the county residents organized to fight the city on this?
Well, in order to fight this involuntary annexation, we formed a not-for-profit 501c3 public charity that is organized for the purpose of community service and community information and education and community organization. We are not a political organization. We are bipartisan. We don't participate in elections. And the way I became interested in this is that I've been in and around Bloomington since 1979, and there are a lot of good people in our community who received a pink slip from RCA or a pink slip from GE, and they never asked for a handout. But that being said, their lifetime earnings potential was cut short. And now that they're on fixed incomes, the tax impact that they would have to incur should an annexation go through would force them out of the homes where they currently live. Their taxes, when they earn like $1,000 a month in Social Security, their tax impact may go up by $2,000 a year, and they fear that they could no longer afford to stay in the homes where they live, and now they're in their 80s. So, these good people have, throughout their lives, never asked for help, but they asked for help on fighting this annexation. And I felt motivated that the public had to do something to help these elderly citizens who could not really endure another move at this late stage in their lives. So we formed County Residents Against Annexation. We embarked on a public information campaign. We told people how the increase in taxes would affect them personally on a house-by-house basis. And the community responded. In all of the annexation areas, more than half of the property owners signed a remonstration petition. And in five of the seven annexation areas, they signed in sufficient numbers that the annexation ordinance was voided by the auditor. Well, in areas 1A and 1B, they have a right to judicial review because they did not quite achieve 65% in those areas that were certified by the auditor. And so we have asked for additional time because of the pandemic, COVID-19 pandemic. And there's a provision in the law that enables there to be granted additional time to seek the 65% of the signatures of the property owners that could void annexation. So that's where we are right now. We've asked the courts for additional time.
Now, the annexation process that started, as you mentioned, involuntarily, the only two areas left are 1A and 1B, correct? Just to update everybody, the other areas are going to be decided how, or the annexation is not happening?
The other annexation areas, 1C, 2, 3, 4, and 5, the auditor has validated signatures of more than 65% of the property owners in those areas. That means she has voided the annexation ordinance. The city has sued to recognize all waivers that have ever been signed and to invalidate the auditor's interpretation of the laws. So that's a second court case.
That's why I wanted you to bring this up. I didn't want people to get confused thinking, well, is this the same thing? Is this different? Well, it is all similar, but yet it is very different because of the legal channels you're going through. The provision about the pandemic, that's interesting. Was that something that was always on the radar, or was that some legalese you found in the process because, the numbers weren't going the right way?
No, it was a law that was enacted in 1998, and it's Indiana Code 34-7-6-1, and this chapter applies to a proceeding. It says pending before a court, a body, or an official that exists under the Constitution or the laws of Indiana, in which time limitations are fixed by laws or rules, and if an emergency exists or arises by reason of war, insurrection, or pestilence, or an act of God, which prevents the performance of an act that is essential to conserve rights, that additional time may be granted. And so that's what we've asked the courts to do. Now, if 1A and 1B are granted additional time, and we can obtain more signatures that put them in the same category as all of the other annexation areas, then all of the annexation areas will be together in fighting the annexation on the waiver issue. So there are two court cases, but we are representing both, and we expect both to be involved in both cases throughout.
Now, what is the timeline for these either being heard by judges, or who is going to hear these arguments? Is this system moving fast enough for you? Is it just I don't know how this works, so that's why I find it very – well, Margaret Clemens is our guest. She's the president of the County Residents Against Annexation, and she has all the answers today. So where are we in the where are we in this system, Margaret, and who's going to eventually hear this? Or do you negotiate? Do you have mediation? Tell me how this is going to work moving forward.
We're at the beginning. We're at the beginning of a very long litigation process. We're just at the very beginning. And if we look at other examples where annexation has been challenged by the residents, one of the most recent and most similar cases is Brownsburg, which successfully thwarted an involuntary annexation attempt. And that case took 7 years. So ours is a lot more complicated, and ours is a lot larger, and I would expect this would go on at least that long.
Now, the next question I have for you, if we're going to get into that time frame, is how do you fund the legal fees for that? I know you're County Residents Against Annexation. This sounds a little bit deeper than a bake sale or a car wash.
Thank you for asking. We have set up this not-for-profit public charity in order to give people who donate money for the Legal Defense Fund a tax break, should they be able to write a check to support our efforts. And they can make a check out to CRAA, which stands for County Residents Against Annexation, and that's P.O. Box 5774, Bloomington, Indiana, 47407. And we would appreciate any and all contributions. And I will send you a receipt so that you can give it to your accountant or include it with your tax filing that would enable you to deduct a portion of your contribution because it's a public charity. We're a recognized public charity.
And Margaret, where are, I mean, I wouldn't think that this case would be heard locally because, well, I don't know how the system works. That's why I'm asking you. But where, I know you started in Monroe Circuit Court. Do you expect it to end in Monroe Circuit Court?
No. The judges here in Monroe County have recused themselves, and it has been assigned to Judge Nathan Nykirk in Lawrence County, this particular case from 1A and 1B has been assigned to Nathan Nykirk in Lawrence County. And the issue on the waivers, number one, the legislature is being defended by the state attorney general, and the auditor is being defended by the county attorney. And we feel that it's important that the property owners, because they have an interest in this, that they be represented too. And that has been assigned, I believe, to Owen County.
Gotcha. So everybody is covered up, and again, can't have the trial here locally. There are too many people affected by it. So we need some unbiased legalities that go along. So Lawrence County and Owen County, and as you mentioned, and we laugh about it, but it's true. You're not going to have that happen here. So we knew it was going to get moved out. Okay, you said you're at the early proceedings. Getting this all organized, you're going to be in for the long haul, in for the fight, so to speak. What's next? Do we have hearings? What is the next step people who live in 1A and 1B should be looking to hear or see from the legal proceedings moving forward?
Well, hopefully the judge will grant us additional time to gather more signatures, and the judge will hear that case and consider it at the end of July, I believe July 29th. And I don't know how long it takes after hearing the case that he would render his judgment. But then if he rules in our favor, then another remonstration period would proceed, and we'd be out trying to make up the difference so we could get 65% of the signatures of the property owners in 1A and 1B sufficient to void annexation in those areas.
And I would guess, and here I am guessing and assuming again, if he rules in the favor of the county residents against annexation, that the city is going to appeal this. Could you still be able to gain signatures during the appellate process, or do you just have to wait and jump off that bridge when you get there?
Well, all of the remonstration proceedings are organized by law via the auditor. So we will have to look to the auditor for her guidance during that time period. She's the one who issues the forms. It's very, very regulated, as you saw during the prior remonstration process. But we're here to help everybody get through it. We know the people who signed. We know the people who didn't sign. And when the judge makes his ruling, and we will just take to heart what he says, no matter what he says and whatever burden it puts on us in terms of gathering signatures, we will just get out there and help people get it done.
What did you learn from the first time around, if you get a second chance, Margaret, that you think would help the cause? Was there one thing that you said, geez, if we could have just done this a little bit differently, and if you get a second chance, what would that be?
Well, I have to say, first of all, I'm so proud of all of the members of the community who came out during a pandemic and in the winter with multiple holidays scattered across the official 90-day remonstration period. We were fighting with our hands tied behind our back, and we did a valiant job. I believe we got more than 65% in 1A. It's just that the auditor did not certify 65%, and we're here to help her do that. You know, I feel that it's one of the largest annexations that has been attempted in our community, and 1A and 1B were the largest, and people were sick. Some of our major counterpart carriers who were out gathering signatures came down with COVID, and were quarantined during the remonstration period. So so the courts exist to promote fairness, and we're hoping that they rule in our favor, and we're going to get it done if we get a little extra time.
Excellent, Margaret. And let's give the folks, again, the ways to be able to get a hold of the county residents against annexation. Is there a Facebook page or a website, or what's most convenient to get the most updated information?
Yes, there is a Facebook page. It's County Residents Against Annexation on Facebook. We're building a website. It's not functional yet, but we'll send out notices via Facebook and Nextdoor when that's functional. And then we have an old school P.O. box for checks that can be mailed to made out to CRAA, which stands for County Residents Against Annexation. And that P.O. box number is 5774, Bloomington, Indiana, 47407. And my telephone number has been pretty widely advertised. And if anyone has any questions, feel free to get a hold of me. My telephone number, if I can, I'll give it here.
Oh, please, yeah.
812-361-4424. I'm just a person who's trying to help out my community. That's it. So I look forward. I've met so many beautiful and wonderful people throughout this remonstration process. And one thing that I know is that people, whether they live in the city or in the county, or in an annexation area, or beyond an annexation area, they're opposed to this involuntary annexation. And so we want to just help the process so that the process reflects the will of the people.
Margaret, excellent job. We're going to have you back on after July 29th to tell us what the next steps are going to be. And if there's any developments before July 29th, please don't hesitate to reach out, and we'll get the message out to everybody as well. We know in this day and age that the local news gathering places are working on skeleton crews, and if we can do anything to help them out, we'd love to do it. And we thank you again for your time. And folks, if you'd like to get a hold of Margaret Clemens, County Residents Against Annexation, please call 812-361-4424, and she will give you all the details, and you can find the County Residents Against Annexation Facebook page as well. Margaret, stay cool. Thank you so much for the insight, and we'll get caught up with you next month.
And thank you for your good work, Mike, and thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. Stay cool, and I look forward to hear how this moves throughout the court system, Margaret. Thank you so much again for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Margaret Clemens.